Chapter 4.
Level 1313 was so named because it was 1,313 levels from the core of the planet. Voss suspected it was easier to think of it that way, rather than focusing on the weight of almost 4,000 other levels between oneself and the surface. The difference between Coruscant's literal and figurative underworld and the one that saw the sun was sufficiently stark that they might as well be located in two different systems. Crimes that would be viewed as appalling above were everyday occurrences here. The Jedi wondered, not for the first time, how many would be born, live, and die here, never having glimpsed the sun, let alone the stars. He strode past shivering figures with hands outstretched to small fires burning in metal drums. Voices called out to him.
Please, sir, got anything to eat? Or some credits to spare?
Hey, handsome. I know what you want.
Right this way. We've got what you're looking for. Exotic items from across the galaxy.
With a gentle brush of the Force, a flick of a finger, and a non-committal smile, Voss caused each inquirer to forget they had seen him, focusing on his goal, a bar that looked, well, pretty much like every other bar Voss had patronized in the last few years. He loved this part of a mission, when anything and everything could happen, when it was all new and exciting, and hadn't yet devolved into something dirty, complicated, and usually far too banal. The door hissed open to admit him, though the air was hazy with the smoke of various substances being burned. Voss could nonetheless make out the forms of females of various species gyrating to the thump of loud primal music. Quickly, he scanned the place, looking for the individuals he had come to find. One, a green-skinned reptilian Trandoshan, dressed in a yellow flight suit, sat at the bar. Voss spotted the others, nestled farther in the darker corners of the establishment, but they would come later. Most of the patrons were huddled deep in conversation, but there was an empty space near the Trandoshan. Voss strode up, getting the server droid's attention, and gesturing to what appeared to be the drink of choice for the establishment, said cheerily to no one in particular,
"Hey, how's it going?"
A couple of the patrons gave him sidelong glances, but no one replied. Undaunted, Voss took a seat, nodding to the droid who slid a cup filled with something thick and dark in his direction, and continued.
"You gentlemen have any leads on any jobs?"
The Trandoshan, Bosk, Voss recalled, known for hunting Wookiees with a viciousness and thoroughness that surpassed even that of most Trandoshans, member of the Bounty Hunters Guild, hissed in either amusement or annoyance, or perhaps both.
"This ain't no hospitality service, buddy. You're either in the know or you ain't. And clearly, you ain't."
With this pithy comment, he turned back to his drink, clearly feeling he had said all that needed to be said. Voss gave it a beat, knocked back his drink as if he welcomed the horrible acidic taste, then said casually,
"I guess the bald banshee is stealing everybody's gigs these days."
The constant murmur of voices and the clanking of ceramicware and cutlery paused among those within earshot. Bosk turned to regard Voss again, stared at him stonily for a moment, then laughed.
"That woman is trouble."
He clapped Voss on the shoulder with a three-fingered clawed hand and gestured at the server droid.
"Give my new friend another one of whatever he's drinking. On me."
Voss nodded his thanks.
"So, she stole a job from you, huh?"
Instead of answering directly, Voss inquired,
"Where is she these days?"
The Trandoshan's eyes narrowed slightly.
"No idea."
Gently, subtly, Voss extended a sense of camaraderie into the Force as he spoke.
"I'd like to get a little payback. Know what I mean?"
Bosk regarded him for a moment longer, then seemed to make a decision.
"I know someone who might know where she is. Come on."
He rose and started across the room, shoving his way through the crowd with no finesse and a great deal of confidence. Voss followed his new best friend to a booth back in one of the darkest corners of the bar. An Anuba, its long tail curled almost twice around its canine pale-striped form, dozed under the table. It awoke at Voss's approach and started to snarl. With a slight wave of his hand, Voss calmed it just enough. It wouldn't do for the beast to suddenly become overly friendly, but an attack wouldn't help his mission either. It sniffed the air, and its growl turned into a whine as it relaxed, though its ears and eyes showed that it remained alert. Seated in the booth were a Thelan bounty hunter with strawberry blonde hair styled in deceptively innocent-looking pigtails. Lots Razi, preferred weapon the grappling boa. A male Cayuso with an enormous and doubtless heavy metallic hat. Embo utilizes the hat as both weapon and transportation, held in high regard among his fellow bounty hunters. Owner of the Anuba, Marak. A droid, High Singer, extremely effective bounty hunter, believed to be unique. And an earnest-looking, shaved-headed young man, who had to be...
Hey, Boba, said Bosk. This guy is looking for no name, the rookie.
Boba Fett was young, looking to be only in his late teens.
Rookie, Fett snorted. Don't you believe it? That woman knows exactly what she's doing.
And what she's doing is...
conning people. Why do you want to know anyway?
Fett scowled into his drink, refusing to elaborate. Clearly Ventress was a touchy subject. Voss was unsurprised.
Like you, I got cheated out of a couple of big payouts, he offered.
She didn't cheat us,
Lots Rotzi piped up. She swirled her cocktail, her eyes twinkling with humor as she peered up at Voss.
We got our pay, just not how the boss here likes it.
True enough, muttered Fett. But I don't like her style.
He drained his drink for emphasis.
Agreed, Voss said mildly.
He didn't attempt to directly influence any of the bounty hunters. They hadn't gotten their reputations by being weak-minded. He simply stood, exuding good cheer, which wasn't a pretense. Fett looked Voss up and down.
You think you can give her a run? Make some trouble for her?
I'm certain of it.
Fett nodded, seemingly satisfied.
All right. I got a tip she took a job on Pantora, chasing down a vulpi named Moragai.
He removed a holoprojector from his pocket, and the small image of a four-armed humanoid sprang to life on his outstretched palm. His expression darkened as he regarded the figure.
I was going to take that job myself, until I heard she got involved. You think you can handle her? Be my guest.
He tossed the holoprojector to Voss as if it were a discarded sabacc chip. Voss caught it deftly. Bosk grinned at him.
Let's hope you're man enough.
Voss flipped the holoprojector in his palm, winked, and left. But not before he heard what Boba Fett doubtless thought was the final word on the subject.
He has no idea what he's getting himself into.
True enough, Voss thought with a mental shrug. I never do.
And that was half the fun. Pantora was the primary moon in orbit around the planet Orto Plutonia. The moon was as temperate as the planet was icy and hostile, and had an elegant cityscape with the repeating pattern of domes shaped like teardrops, or less poetically, onions. The Pantorans, for whatever reason, seemed inordinately fond of building on multiple levels. Parks, walkways, and other varieties of decorative architectural constructs adorned what on other worlds would be unremarkable rooftops. Asajj Ventress was not a poetic woman, and the architecture of Pantora concerned her only in as much as it was making it difficult for her to track down her quarry. At the present moment, she stood atop a flattened version of such a tear-shaped dome, vision-enhancing goggles whirring and clicking as they readjusted. She'd gotten a tip that her quarry preferred this part of the capital city, coming here to simply wander. A specific site would have been more helpful, a bar, a brothel, even a particular statue. but Ventress had learned to cultivate patience in the last several months. Her augmented gaze traveled over the decorative buildings and multicolored trees that broke up the expanses of the red stone with which the Pantorans seemed to like to decorate their public spaces. The day was a pleasant one, and many Pantorans were out enjoying the sunshine. Speeders zipped overhead, though without the frantic urgency of those navigating the sky lanes of Coruscant. There were clusters of family units, from adults to infants, setting out picnics in the shade of the trees while the younglings ambled about happily. Young lovers were here too, strolling with their heads bent close to each other. Ventress's gaze lingered a moment on a family, a male and female Mirialin with three younglings of various ages. The male was giving one of them a ride on his back, and the boy was clearly delighted. The adult female, presumably the mother, looked on smiling fondly. With a muttered oath of self-chastisement, Ventress returned to her search. But she couldn't shake the image. Once, she had belonged to a family, a sisterhood, strong and proud. Now they were dead, and she would never hold a sister's child, all because of Dooku. Those Mirialins were fools. They did not understand how easily and completely a single moment could destroy everything. Let them laugh in their ignorance and play with their spawn while they could. Slowly, Ventress moved her head, covered now with short, pale blonde hair, tracking along the open areas. A few lonely citizens sat on the steps of various buildings eating their lunches. Some threw pieces of their meals to various small creatures, which survived by looking appealing to bored sentients who... Ventress paused, adjusting the electrobinocular goggles slightly, and a smile curved her lips. He was hunched over, four eyes blinking slowly, one hand holding a sandwich. A second arm held a cup, while the other two were plucking a crust to toss to the small, rodent-like creatures, whose tails flickered energetically as they consumed the food. Moragai. There's my Vulpi, Ventress said softly, her voice a satisfied purr. She quickly calculated the best approach, fired a cable from her current rooftop to a lower one, then hooked the bow over it and slid down. She landed gracefully and straightened, gazing down at her quarry. As if sensing her, the Vulpi froze in his actions of feeding the animals, and slowly turned his head. Their eyes met. Ventress was unconcerned that she had been made. No bounty yet had escaped her. She dropped to the pavement and walked toward him casually, smiling as he leapt to his feet, bellowed at her, and took off. Let the chase begin. Moragai slammed deliberately into a passerby, sending them tumbling behind him to block Ventress's pursuit. Four arms lent him extra dexterity as he leapt onto statuary, swung from overhands, and frightened various mounts and their riders. While the chaos prevented Ventress from getting the clear shot she wanted, which would have ended the hunt in record time, she was not averse to giving chase. The force buoyed her and guided her, and the prey was not so clever as to be entirely unpredictable to her keen senses. Moragai had to utilize his sheer physicality to shove his way through the crowd. Ventress, whose friend was the Force, conserved her energy for the final capture by simply soaring over the crowds of frightened fallen pedestrians with a few well-timed leaps. She thought she had him when the Vulpi ran out of rooftop. Moragai hesitated, glancing over his shoulder at Ventress. Then he took a running jump and somehow made it to the next rooftop.
Not bad, Ventress granted him, effortlessly making the leap herself.
She let the Force tell her what Moragai would do next, and followed its guidance when she lost sight of him briefly. She cut a corner on one of the rooftops when he sought to throw her off by racing along the streets. She smiled to herself as she saw him emerge, and arcing her body, she dived atop him. They slammed hard to the ground. The impact forced her to tumble away from him, and she leapt lightly to her feet, facing him. The bounty was higher if she brought him in alive. So as Moragai stared at her, panting, Ventress was calculating the best way to bring him down. Suddenly, she caught a flurry of movement out of the corner of her eye, and a figure sailed across her field of vision. Her Vulpi went down beneath it. Ventress was so taken aback, she simply stared in astonishment as the two grappled. Recovering, she demanded,
"What is this?"
The dark-haired humanoid, struggling with his two arms to pin down the arms of a being who had four, turned his head and shot her a grin.
"It's called a tackle,"